Dear congregation, no matter how many spring seasons you've had in your life, of one thing I'm certain. If you've ever sowed grass seed, I'm certain you didn't then get Brussels sprouts growing up on your front lawn. If you've sown bean seeds, I'm sure you didn't then get corn stalks that came up from those bean seeds. No, we reap what we sow. That's true in nature. It's also true spiritually speaking. And that brings us to our text for this day, for this afternoon. We read from the book of Galatians, and we read about walking in the Spirit and sowing to the Spirit over against the opposite of sowing to the flesh and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. These are clearly two very different ways, and really the only two ways people actually live. Either the one way or the other way. Which way are you living? Sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh? For this number 6 in our springtime sermon series 2021, how will you and I sow in the coming seasons of life? Will you sow to the Spirit this spring season or to the flesh? It is good that we think about this question and that this question be deeply impressed upon our minds and hearts. With our thoughts, words, and deeds, what kind of sowing are you and I doing? What kind of sowing do you want to do? And do you pray to do day by day and week by week and year after year? When we are true Christians, beloved, we want only always to sow to the Spirit. And by no means, and not anywhere, anytime, with anyone or anything, to be sowing to the flesh. The Apostle Paul in verse 7 of Galatians 6 gives us a helpful line to remember and always keep in mind. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Paul means with that just, if we sow to the will and ways of sin, Satan, and this ungodly world, we will reap the rotten and unsatisfying and destructive, even deadly fruits thereof. But if we sow to the Spirit, which means walking in the Spirit, living daily by God's word and will before God and our neighbor, then we will reap the fruits thereof, showing praise and honor to God and true love and care for our fellow man. It's helpful here to highlight the immediate context of verse 7. I never thought of this before in the preceding verses. In verses 1 to 5, Paul speaks about Christians showing humble love and care for those fallen in error, either in doctrine or behavior. And then in verse 6, he speaks about showing true giving support and real help for all Christian ministry. In that context, let us sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh, says Paul. And let us walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, our old sinful nature. And remember always, now and with everything, we reap what we sow. If you and I are mostly impatient and intolerant and unloving to the weak and to those falling, that is not according to the Spirit, nor upbuilding at all. Likewise, if we care not to support well, as we are able, all faithful, God-honoring ministers and pastors, teachers, missionaries for Christ's church and kingdom, then we are not sowing to the Spirit, but rather to our sinful flesh and to worldly, ungodly, self-serving ways. But with that being the immediate context, surely can we not at the same time see Paul's exhortation in Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10, in a broader way even. I mean, can we not say, in fact, here we have a principle for life, congregation. And a rule for life that we do well to remember always and to always keep in mind. For as long as we live, we reap what we sow. Well, on this Sunday school, Pentecost Sunday afternoon, let's consider three reflections for all our prophet from our text passage under the given theme, we reap what we sow. And may God's Spirit bless us as we do this. Our first reflection is what a gospel warning truth this is, what our text gives us here. A gospel warning truth. We may say, hearing this truth, we reap what we sow. Well, who doesn't know this? And why do we even have to spend time to hear this? As I said at the beginning, you don't plant a seed of one kind and then get something else come up instead. We know that. Isn't it common sense fact? And something everyone knows and realizes. We reap what we sow. Yes. But which Christian, also among us, hasn't learned yet that common sense facts also for the Christian life, we can still so easily forget, can't we? And suppress and somehow block out of our minds? I mean, is there a Christian among us who doesn't have reason to lament forgetting or just pushing aside as not relevant or refusing to think about it? The truth that we reap what we sow. You know, every time you and I give in to sin in thought, word, or deed, are we not then actively negating and denying, actually, that we reap what we sow? How many think they can sow a little sin here and there and get away with it still without any sad and bad consequences? But our text, congregation, gives us a gospel warning truth, introducing it also with the solemn words at the beginning of verse 7. Take note, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. The exhortation, do not be deceived, is written in a form that suggests we are so liable, so prone to deceive ourselves in this matter. This is our default way of life, to fall into deceitful ways and thinking, and thus to allow ourselves to be sowing to the flesh in one way or another. Alas, all too often still. In other words, congregation, it's so typical of us, isn't it, by nature, even when Christians, still to think there's no harm done with a so-called little sin and a little shortcoming here and there in our lives. But to be deceived and allow ourselves to be deceived in this way is so foolish and wrong. While it's so typical of us by nature, how careful we need to be to guard our minds and hearts from being so deceived in regards to both right doctrine and in regards to godly conduct. How many have thought, a little thing, it's okay. And before they knew it, they went far astray. If we know ourselves at all, we know, don't we? What reasons to pray every day? Lord, please don't let me be self-deceived in any way this day and the next and the next and the next, even for as long as I live. Does this make sense to you, each one, listening now also to this sermon? A second part of Paul's gospel warning truth is that phrase, God is not mocked. Doesn't this phrase tell us, while we may think to sneak past others some little inconsistencies and sins here and there in our lives, we think we can get away with it, we should ever realize nothing escapes God's notice and observation. God is not mocked means here, actually, God is not fooled by us, ever. The Lord knows always our every thought and word and deed. Nothing is hidden from His holy searching view of us, whether by day or night, or whether in public or private. Oh, why do we ever think we can escape God seeing us in our inconsistencies and sowing to the flesh still? Again, shouldn't this have us take our main theme, therefore, most seriously? We reap what we sow. God is not mocked, meaning here, no one of us can ever pull the wool over His eyes, so to speak. I can live a pretended good Christian life before others, maybe, and look pretty good, still, squeaky clean, even, before men, especially during this pandemic time. But God searches us through and through. And He sees all the hypocrisies and inconsistencies and our sin-excusing and sin-rationalizing ways by day and by night. Who of us has forgotten this past week, perhaps even today so far, the opening words of Galatians 6 verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." Which lust of the flesh did you allow? And do you still excuse forgetting the gospel warning truth of our text and our sermon theme, "We reap what we sow"? Sometimes, yes, it really can seem like we can escape getting caught in troubles or even getting caught in our sins, for our remaining sins and that we allow yet. But at the same time, which Christian won't admit, you lose a lot of joy in the faith when you allow one or more single sin still to reign and rule in your life. That little bit of sowing to the flesh, it nibbles away at all zeal for the faith and at true, genuine care and love for others. And in the end, that giving in to sin, rather than blessing you, it hurts you. It drains you, rather than gives you what you thought you might find. When David, we're told, let himself as a believer be deceived in sowing to the flesh, as the Bible tells us he did for a while, and thinking that God might not notice his secret sins. We are told in Psalm 32, his honest experience, he was wilting and withering in the faith and without zip in faithfulness. In his inner being, he was groaning all the day long. And as he says, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. It's exactly like Paul says in Galatians 6, how that the sowing to the flesh reaps corruption. The word corruption here refers to degeneration, decline, dismay, distress, and decay. Corruption, wrote one commentator rightly in this regard, corruption is not the cessation of human existence, but the self-defeating existence of grief and woe, temporal and eternal, apart from repentance. Well, who of us doesn't know, even with shame, that sin and sowing to sinful, ungodly ways always spoils things? And left unchecked, the way of sin makes a person progressively worse in character and increasingly evil and untrustworthy in behavior. Sin results in darkness, division, distress, death, and destruction. From the first sin of Adam and Eve to the last sin in the world, this is so absolutely obvious. But sin is so blinding and deceptive that we don't see it. We don't see it for the evil it is, except God exposes it to us and us to it, which thankfully, as we learned this morning, the Holy Spirit is out to do. Sowing to the flesh ruins everything and everyone and brings us down into doom and gloom. The sad fact of all non-Christians is that they only always just sow to the flesh. Really? And except they be born again by God's Spirit and saved by Jesus the Savior, so they will live and die in eternal ruin and everlasting punishment. But Paul now, in our text in Galatians 6, he's writing to Christians. Christians prone to fall and stumble. And he's exhorting us. Believers also here, don't you be sowing to the flesh still. In any way, do you hear? Is this anyone's problem yet among us, perhaps? As confessing believers, listening now to this sermon, oh, let God's word search us all out, and let us each one and all take to heart His divine precept. We reap what we sow. Will you not hear this word as God's gospel warning, truth to us and for us? May it help us, congregation. May it help us all to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. But now what does that mean more particularly? Well, here we come to our second main reflection. Namely, what welcoming gospel truth our text proclaims. Not just what warning gospel truth, but what welcoming gospel truth. Let's observe and realize here, when the text exhorts us not to sow to the flesh, but to sow to the Spirit, that this is actually the daily challenge and calling of every Christian. Isn't that what describes a Christian? This is what marks the good fight of faith of believers. Not to sow to the flesh, but to sow to the Spirit. Well, how is this word, you might ask? How is it a welcoming gospel truth? Well, doesn't it drive us out of ourselves to look to God triune for His saving grace and strength and help and supply every day, repeatedly and increasingly for us to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit? What is it really to walk in the Spirit, to sow to the Spirit? Does it not mean basically, especially in contrast to walking in the flesh, doesn't it mean ever to depend on the Lord in all our ways, step by step, and constantly to take care to be guided by what His Word teaches us? Walking and sowing to the Spirit is all about living, congregation, in daily repentance of sin and continually looking to Christ to be your and my Savior and Lord every step of our earthly pilgrimage. Then we pray and work, don't we, to have all our thoughts and words and deeds captive to Christ and His Word and to His will in everything, with everyone, and that everywhere and every day. And while this is impossible with us left to ourselves always, yet praise God, congregation, this is exactly the joy and the triumph of the Christian life. Namely, that all we need in becoming saved and in staying saved and in growing in grace and godliness to glory, we may receive freely and fully from out of God's fullness of salvation in and through Christ the Savior. This is the Spirit's great and gracious work as sent by the Father and the Son, ever to point us to Christ and always to have us draw from Christ and to abide in Him and so to live all out for Him. The larger context of the whole letter of Paul to the Galatians was that some were being deceived in thinking they needed more than Christ to save them and to bless them and to lead them whole out for God, all out for God, and to make them a blessing. But Paul, you know, in this letter to the Galatians, he strongly rebukes the erroneous and heretical teaching that they were falling prey to. And he urgently and repeatedly calls, doesn't he, to the Galatian Christians and church to understand and to grasp the full and free gospel of salvation, all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And now you see, we are true believers in this Christ. then by God, the Holy Spirit sent from Christ, He enables us and motivates us to walk in the Spirit and to sow to the Spirit. And he even actually works in us in a way that, doesn't every Christian confess this, in a way that we don't even want to live otherwise anymore. And we pray and work time and again to live all out for God and good before God and our neighbor. Whoever sows in the Spirit, says one, devotes his whole life to Him and lets himself be governed by Him and His Word and doesn't want it any otherwise. Isn't that the confession of faith of every believer when it's well? Well, are you and I sowing to the Spirit in this way in our lives? You know, it becomes evident when we do or don't. Because when we do, then you know what? Then church life is very important to us. And coming under the preaching regularly is likewise a matter of urgency and delight for us. And reading good books or listening to sound teaching and preaching becomes a joy for us and something characteristic about us. Then worldliness becomes more and more uncomfortable for us. But times of Christian fellowship and service and study becomes increasingly special to us. What makes the sowing to the Spirit and not sowing to the flesh exhortation here such a gospel welcoming truth and not just a gospel warning truth is also that surely with this exhortation the Lord as triune God is inviting us, isn't He? He's inviting us to look to Him and to draw from Him and to depend on Him alone in the good fight of faith. The Lord knows our frame. The Lord knows how weak we are in ourselves. You know, in the same letter of Galatians, in chapter 6, the same chapter we read, but we didn't read it to the end, but in verse 14, Paul the Apostle, he gives us there his repeated glowing gospel testimony about finding his all and all in Christ the Savior. He says in that precious gospel verse, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." He could almost have said, "By whom I sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh." And you see, this is the Holy Spirit's great and gracious renewing and refreshing work in us once and again and again. When we look to Christ by the Word ever to call us to Christ for all that we need for becoming saved and then for the whole of the Christian life lived all for God and good. We may receive it all from Christ. What Galatians 6 here is teaching in our text is not, after all, a salvation by works. No, no. The whole of Paul's letter to the Galatians teaches us what Paul tells elsewhere as well in Romans and Ephesians, namely that we are not ever saved by our works, but only always by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We are not saved of works by us, but we are saved unto good works, which God is pleased to accomplish in and through us by His sanctifying Spirit and Word. So, you see how precious this is, this whole passage. It's gospel welcoming truth. It's not having us depend on ourselves to sow to the Spirit, but to depend on Christ and the Holy Spirit to help us, to so lead us. And you see, the more this most precious and full gospel of grace is preached and believed, the more we come to understand how sowing to the Spirit reaps for us everlasting life, as Paul says. Sowing to the Spirit is the way of grace, congregation, and everlasting life. And in so living in reliance on God and in praise to God and in love to our neighbor, yes, we will one day be given also in fullness the gift of eternal life in heaven, in glory eternal there. But again, what is being stressed in this, our second main point, on our text passage, how here we have a gospel welcoming truth that we reap what we sow. How important to get this. It's gospel welcoming truth in that it is declaring congregation. No one of us needs to be left in a hopeless, dreadful life of sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption here and hereafter. Sometimes we can feel like it's a hopeless battle. No, it's not a hopeless battle. No, there is a gospel way of deliverance and empowerment in and through Christ and by His Spirit. And it's all of grace for whoever has ears to hear. And hearing God's gospel call and living out of the gospel as true believers, all we need to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh, God will abundantly provide us freely and fully as we daily look to Him and lean on Him. It is the Holy Spirit's delight beyond measure, not only to save sinners, but to sanctify God's people and to have us live all out in true love to God and in genuine love to our neighbors. How important this is. What gospel welcoming truth. Sometimes, you know, we can feel like certain habits in our lives. We're so habitual in the way of sowing to the flesh, and we don't know how we can conquer them. But just keep bringing it to the Lord in repentance and faith. The Lord is forgiving and the Lord is renewing every time again to help us in the good fight of faith, to be able to stop whatever sowing to the flesh we yet do, and to learn more and more to sow to the Spirit. With whatever struggles and troubles you and I may have yet also in this Christian life, fighting, for instance, with those bosom sins that we all can have that cleave to us like burrs, or as stated in Hebrews 12, those fleshly and worldly weights and sins that so easily yet can ensnare us. Oh, congregation, we may bring them all to God, God triune, and ask Him to help us mortify the flesh. He will, by His Spirit and Word, help us, yes, to crucify whatever yet hinders us in sowing to the Spirit. And that still has us sowing to the flesh. The Bible says, bring whatever bothers you. Maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's that lust. Maybe it's that covetousness. Maybe it's that pride. Whatever it is, open wide your mouth, says the Lord. I will, if you plead, fill your every need, all your wants relieving. The Spirit, by His Word, and in view of Christ the Savior, can make you and me, you know, so detest what we have much loved before, because we learn and see it as so sinful and as so God-dishonoring and so neighbor-despising. What is it that you know right now, if you are honest, that you need help in truly to live by our text, Galatians 6, 7 to 10? Bring it to the Lord in prayer right now. Thinking of a text like Luke 11, 13. What a Pentecostal text to plead today, this Pentecost Sunday, for you and for me. Do you know what it says in that text? Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? When have you last honestly asked the Holy Spirit to help you in whatever struggles you might have, still sowing to the flesh? To stop it and to more and more sow to the Spirit by His grace and power. You see, Jesus Christ, through His finished work as Savior of sinners, also provides this blessing for us, this gift of the Holy Spirit for all who look to Him and seek to live for Him. The Holy Spirit of God in us and with us, ever to guide us and to guard us, to bless us, to prompt us, to prosper us, to purify us. And truly and increasingly sowing to the Spirit. And really no longer and decreasingly so, sowing to the flesh. When we have the Holy Spirit with us, those two people, they become truly and more repulsed with living in any way of sin whatsoever before God and our neighbor. And when it's not that way in our lives, we need to ask, are we Christians at all? And do we know the life of the Spirit in truth? Again, let no one of us deceive ourselves, for God is not fooled by a pretend Christian life. That's just scam and show and not genuine, nor growing, nor glowing in holiness and love before God and mankind. Once again, however, when we consider our theme, we reap what we sow. Let's hear our text, not only as a gospel warning truth, but as a gospel welcoming truth. Perhaps too in the past, you have failed miserably as a confessing believer, having inexcusably and wickedly even allowed yourself to sow to the flesh, even for quite some time, and falling into sin before God and others, most shamefully and painfully. But listen, with true repentance, that never stops repenting. You may know from God our Savior by His Spirit and Word, there is in Jesus' blood not only full forgiveness of all our sins, but also cleansing and renewal moving forward. Yes, that's the gospel truth. Even with lifelong consequences of sins past that have been graciously forgiven by God, the Lord can and does give also new and even unexpected opportunities to serve Him. Some of you, some of us also know about that in our own lives. The Bible in Joel 2, verse 25, speaks even of the Lord in His grace and mercy, restoring the years we have wasted by our sins, by our sowing to the flesh. The point is, congregation, when we sow to the Spirit, in repentance and faith, God then, for Jesus' sake alone, time and again, God has us yet reap fruit to His praise and fruits of glory to everlasting life beyond all expectation. Paul the Apostle, he knew something of this in his own life, and it adds impetus to his urgent message, also in our text and our theme. Sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Well, when we heed this text, God does encourage us too. And here we come to our third point, our third reflection. We reap what we sow as our theme. And let's recognize this is not only a warning gospel truth and a welcoming gospel truth, but it's a wonderful gospel truth. It's a wonderful gospel truth. And it's not hard for me to explain that and to proclaim this last point, I don't think. For in chapter 5, we read together about the ugly and the rotten works of the flesh and how bad and evil and destructive they are. How impoverishing and hurtful are the works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, oh, how is that pictured and promoted? As something very wonderful, as something very blessed, fruitful, loving, God-honoring, pleasant, people-caring. How delightful and enriching are the fruits of the Spirit. Indeed, not only in terms of eternal life hereafter as free gift of God for His redeemed and renewed people, but just think of how much good and blessing it brings already in this life when we live sowing to the Spirit. The verses 9 and 10 speak of doing good to others, which happens when we sow to the Spirit, especially to those of the household of faith. When we sow to the Spirit, we do good to them. We encourage them. We bless them. But it's not only exclusively to the household of faith, but Paul says even far and wide beyond that, as God gives us opportunities in the world around us. And surely, won't you agree with me, how much blessing for good have God's people been in the past and are still in the present when sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh? We are a people, you and I, walking in the Spirit and sowing to the Spirit. We are a community before God and our neighbor, marked by the love of Christ, knowing that love and showing that love with humility, consistency, and delight and energy in word and deed. Walking in the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit, is all about, isn't it? Living daily to the glory of God and for the well-being of our neighbors, body and soul. When in verse 9, Paul reminds us how too often we can start doing something good and noble, but then not persevere in it. Well, how human is that? Isn't it true? As one put it, all too often, the best intentions fail for lack of resolve and commitment. But you see, God, who is also by His Spirit, so all persevering in grace and care and commitment towards us for Jesus' sake, and for leading us in faith and faithfulness before Him, He enables us, doesn't He, to stay at the helm, to stay at what we need to continue in, and to turn away from whatever might distract and disturb us and lead us off course and astray. The Spirit is our best companion, to be faithful, to endure unto the end. Notice too the additional promise in the text with perseverance. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or faint. Now sowing time is a time you could lose heart, because it's time of hard work. And really, the sowing time in our lives is our whole life long, till our last breath. Ultimately, the reaping season is not till when Christ returns. But till then, with constant sowing, now to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Oh, how abundantly blessed already we become and are as God's people. And what a blessing then we become to those around us. It can't but be pleasant and profitable to live with a true Christian in the home and in church and in the neighborhood and in this world of sin and misery. Wouldn't you rather live with a Christian than with someone who lives sowing to the flesh? Well, are you and I different from this ungodly world and the false religions and the hypocritical church, in that you and I, yes, we sow to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, nor sow to the flesh. Sowing to the Spirit, congregation, is a way of life so divinely fruitful and delightfully beneficial and unquestionably fulfilling and repeatedly rewarding and practically helpful, and ultimately it's most promising for now and hereafter. It's what has us also especially enjoy God already on this side of heaven. Doesn't the same apostle say in his letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:8b, godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Along the same line, he says in 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, who of us will not admit, just logically speaking, that sowing to the Spirit as opposed to sowing to the flesh is so much more helpful and delightful towards our neighbor? It means loving our neighbor, not hating him, helping others, and not hurting them. God's people, sowing to the Spirit, live to the praise of God and for the well-being of others, whereas those who sow to the flesh live in dishonor of God and in disregard for their neighbors. Sowing to the Spirit, you'll die for your neighbor if need be. Sowing to the flesh, you'll kill your neighbor if he or she stands in your way in a bad way. Well, these are the two camps. Sowing to the flesh is the miserable way, while the other, sowing to the Spirit, is the way of contentment. The one way is useless, while the other way is useful. The one way is hopeless, the other is hopeful. The one way is destructive, the other is constructive. The one way is pleasant, the other is perverse. Jesus came, congregation, to give life, and that more abundantly. here and hereafter. But to live apart from Him and in rejection of Him is death, death and doom. Yes, here and hereafter, except we repent. So now then, in conclusion, thinking about the fact that we reap what we sow, will you sow to the Spirit or sow to the flesh? Only if we are Christians can we begin to sow to the Spirit. And the purpose of this sermon now is, when Christians, to take care to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. The sermon is also for unbelievers, for those not yet saved. Sow to the Spirit. Will you just rather live sowing to the flesh and perish in that way? No, let this text also be a call to you, especially on this Pentecost Sunday, where we know the Spirit has been sent forth to call sinners to Christ for a first time, as well as again and again. And you may know that with Him there is salvation. With Him there is forgiveness of all sin so far in your life. No sinner is beyond the gospel message. And whoever repents and believes in Jesus will be saved. And the same Pentecost Spirit, He sanctifies those whom He justifies. He makes you to become someone who sows to the Spirit and no longer to the flesh. Let us exhort one another, dear congregation, to be a people who sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Even so, let us pray God much that He will bless this sermon, that it not just be a warning gospel truth and a welcoming gospel truth and a wonderful gospel truth, but a working gospel truth. Yes, by His Spirit, working in our lives to His praise and for our benefit and as witnesses of Him in our sinful, perishing world where so many by nature are just sowing to the flesh. May we be different. And when we are different, let's give Him all the praise and ask for His constant help to stay different, sowing to the Spirit till our last breath. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord, again, Your word is so instructive and so convicting, but so encouraging too. And we pray that we may not forget this word and that we may remember the main theme that we reap what we sow. Lord, please let our lives be lives that sow to the Spirit, and that live in repentance and faith and godliness, in true love to God and in true love to our neighbor. And that You will so also use us as witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our churches, in our places of employment or schooling, and in our neighborhoods. Oh, hear our prayer. Thank You for Your word, for Your care for us and our well-being, for here and for hereafter. Oh, look upon us in Your mercy and bless this word. Forgive all that which was sinful, even this service. Strengthen us for the week ahead in all our responsibilities. And hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake.